The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
And welcome. We are so glad that you're joining us today. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio, where our goal is to inspire and educate you all about adoption. If you've been thinking that adoption might be a path for you, or you know someone who's considering adoption, we'd love it if you would share our show with them. We also love to hear your suggestions and ideas about our show. You can always reach me at my email at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Another thing you can do is check out our archives, over 150 shows that we have done in the last 3 years. We have those available on adoption.net. That is our new home, adoption.net, and they are a resource for everything you need to know about adoption. So last week, our encore with Carrie Goldman, loved having her on the show. This was such a fun show. If you missed it, again, you can go back to those archives and listen to that show. Carrie just wrote me the other day letting me know of her new book, Jazzy's Quest, that's coming out in July, and we're looking to have her on the show with us very soon to talk about this new book. So this week, Mike Hamilton, a new friend, joins us. Mike is the executive director for Show Hope. Mike was appointed in December 2014. Now, we've had a representative of Show Hope on the show before, and if you are familiar with this wonderful organization, they were founded in 2003, rather, by award-winning Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife, Mary Beth. Mary Beth is a New York Times best-selling author and a nonprofit organization that helps restore the hope of a family to orphans in distress. And it's just really wonderful. I remember us having the conversation about Show Hope, and I'm so glad to have Mike here. Mike is their new executive director. He served on the Show Hope board and has extensive leadership and development experience, serving over 26 years in intercollegiate athletics at Clemson University, Wake Forest University, and the University of Tennessee. Mike, welcome so much to the show. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us and taking time out of your day.
It's such a pleasure. I love what you're doing with your show, and it's great to be with you for a few minutes today.
Yeah, thank you. I can imagine, so you go from, now you were on the board, right? So you served on the board for Show Hope, and how long were you on the board?
Yes, so my wife and I, Beth, we actually have been donors for probably about 8 or 9 years, and then I began serving on the board around 2010 and was on my second term of the board when the Chapmans approached me this past fall and asked me to come alongside them in this new role, and excited to be here and diving deeper into an organization that I believe so wholeheartedly in.
Yeah, so how's the year been going so far in this new job? I can imagine that after 26 years, you were in intercollegiate athletics, so that's kind of a shift, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a long, wonderful, sometimes hard story. Just to back up on that real briefly, I was in that place for 26 years. My last 8 years of that, I served as athletic director at the University of Tennessee, and then I actually worked for another nonprofit here in Nashville for 3 years as president, and then moved to Show Hope in the fall. And, knowing the organization as a donor and a board member is knowing it different from being internal and to, you know, serving right. in certainly a new role like executive director. And I remember I sent a letter to our donor base not very long after I got here and said, you know, when you begin to have this new lens that you look through, you always wonder what you're going to see. And the good news is this organization truly is doing great work and has been for a long time. And what you see from the outside is what you see from the inside. And my role now is to come alongside these great employees and the great work and Chapman's and say, now what is God leading us to do next? And what that's involved is, you know, some shoring up of systems and an analysis of how we're going about our work and the different arenas that we're involved in. And are we engaged in the way we should be in all these different arenas? And it's casting a vision for what's next over the next 5 to 10 years. And so that, as you might imagine, that's been a very busy time over the last several months. And throw in there several events and a 10-day trip to China and a few other things. There's been plenty to do.
Yeah, you've been a busy guy in the short
no
time.
No doubt.
Yeah, that you've been doing this with Show Hope. So I know that you do have a personal connection to adoption, and that makes even your work, I'm sure, more meaningful. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, and you know our involvement with adoption issues goes back quite some time. My wife's sister and her husband adopted in the 80s through Bethany Christian Services, another organization that we love and think that does great work. And and so it was in our family originally as a story of us being an aunt and an uncle. And then in the early 90s, mid-90s, we began to think about forming our own family. And we began the process of considering adoption as the way that we would do that. So I have 5 adopted children. Our oldest two were born here in the United States and were adopted at birth. And then in 2008, 2009, we began to feel like, you know, at that time, our oldest were 13 and 10. We began to feel like God was calling us into this story again, but maybe from a little bit different perspective, and that was a heart for the orphan crisis. And so we... One, the consideration of another child ended up being consideration of two and ended up with 3. So in 2009, we were blessed with the opportunity to adopt a biological sibling group from Ethiopia. And at the time, our 2 oldest Ethiopian sons were 7 and 4. And then we had a baby, Kalu, who was just a few months old at the time. And it's out of that story that we even went deeper. While I was athletic director at the University of Tennessee, we had a celebrity golf tournament to raise funds for adoption initiatives through Bethany. But when we were in Africa and coming home, I had a long conversation with an elderly lady in the airport, and we were talking about our children's culture and means and names, et cetera. And what I came to find out was that the name given to my youngest daughter by her birth mother was Kalu, K-A-L-U, which we were going to make sure that that's what we called her as well. But I found out that Kalu meant get the word out.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, for us, at the time, having the platform that we had in college athletics and this, what we saw as almost a divine call to, you know, smack us right in the face and say, hey, you need to be getting the word out, came back, formed a foundation to begin caring for more deeply these kinds of issues and aligned ourselves with Show Hope to begin giving grants to families who are adopting from Africa and started an event in Knoxville, Tennessee that is now 6 years strong, raising money for those kinds of things. And then I left the University of Tennessee in the summer of 2011 and kind of went through what Bob Buford talks about as halftime, I guess you'd say, and began to decide, you know, where is it that I can now serve? And so long story short, we're here at Show Hope. We believe wholeheartedly in the work, but we also experience it in a very deep and profound way within our own family story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story too, and you're like many folks who I speak to, and like myself, you go through this experience, right? And it's just this most compelling, emotional, crazy kind of experience, and all of a sudden you're hooked because it's almost like the more you know, you can't just turn around and just go back to your normal life then, right?
Yeah.
You have to find a way, an outlet for helping to create change, helping to create awareness, helping to bring people together around that issue, be it whatever level of the adoption triad that you are touched by. So it sounds like, as you describe this to us, Mike, what a perfect fit for you. And I'm sure that the Show Hope folks are just really count their blessings every day that you're there kind of leading the helm. So tell us a little bit about your kiddos, because you've got five. Tell us how Kalu is doing now.
Yeah, so I'll start with Kalu. We'll go from the youngest to the oldest. How about that?
Okay.
So Kalu is 6 and a half. Part of her story is that she's HIV positive, and that's part of the story of the orphan crisis in Africa. And thankful for the type of care we have here in the United States. She is perfectly healthy. And probably the healthiest of all of us.
That's great,
And she is doing great. She's a little fireball. I've been traveling over the last 5 or 6 days, and when I got home last night from the airport, she unfortunately was already in bed for the night. And then to just have her running through the house this morning, screaming, "Daddy's home, Daddy's home, Daddy's home," and just run and lurch herself at me and get that big hug. Was just awesome, and she is a walking billboard for just joy. And we're excited for what God has in store for her life, and she'll be a first grader this fall. And then Kia is our next oldest; he's 9, and his Kia was his nickname in Africa. His formal name there was Dagum, but I jokingly say that in East Tennessee, where we lived at the time, Dagum might have become Daggum, and so we chose to keep his nickname. Great little kid who's got just the kindest heart and care for others, and he'll be a fourth grader. Nate is our oldest child from Ethiopia. He is a rising sixth grader, loves football, and starting to notice that there are girls in the room and all those kind of things. And he's also still... He still wants to somewhat be a father figure to his younger siblings, and it's been a great walk with him to help him understand that he doesn't have to serve as an adult figure yet. He can still be a kid, and he's got such a loving heart. Matt is our soon-to-be 16-year-old son who is into everything related to technology and loves online gaming and has a heart for animals and outdoors and those kind of things, and is just doing great. And Madison's our oldest. She just finished her freshman year at the University of Tennessee, and it's been great to see her maturity and her care for her siblings. And she actually has been, she was at Show before I was. She actually served as a high school intern at one point.
Oh, that's great.
She was in high school and has written some blogs and has traveled to Show Hope to Haiti. She's a special young lady, and her desire is to write novels someday. And I have no doubt that she will do that very well.
What an amazing family you have. I just so appreciate you being with us today. And we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. I want to learn more about you, about how you met the Chapmans, and about what your vision is for this amazing organization. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm here today with Mike Hamilton with Show Hope organization. Their website is showhope.org. That's showhope.org. Do stay with us. We'll be right back.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for listening. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm Kelly Ellison. Each week, our show links and resources, everything mentioned on this show, you can find at our website at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. Also, you should know that at youradoptionfinancecoach.com, you're going to learn from our coaches step-by-step financial plans to help you complete your dream of adoption. Our services are provided through our affiliate agencies, and we want to welcome Family Connections, Christian Adoptions, Hopscotch Adoptions, and Summit, coming soon online, Children's Home Society, and Lutheran Services in Minnesota. Many, many more. Others include Baby Step, WayCap, Spence Chapin. You can get the full list of all of the agencies that join us to provide our innovative financial services from our website at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. That's youradoptionfinancecoach.com. You want to be sure to check that out. So we are back with Mike Hamilton, Executive Director of Show Hope. Their website is showhope.org. If you don't know about this amazing organization, it was created by Stephen Curtis Chapman and Mary Beth Chapman. And I'm just curious, Mike, how did you, it sounds like from your experience, is it true? Am I drawing the right conclusion from your experience with Ethiopia or Africa and that adoption, that was how you got connected in the very beginning with the Chapmans? Or Show Hope?
Actually, it was not through our adoption story initially. We actually, having lived in the state of Tennessee since 1992 and the Chapmans being in Tennessee, I guess it was just by a series of connections, we ended up having some common friends. And there was a doctor and his wife who were very generous to the University of Tennessee. They were close friends, and they were also great friends of the Chapmans. And then many people know the name Scotty Smith, who is a longtime minister here in Middle Tennessee, and he was a dear friend of ours as well, and as well as Chapmans. And so through those two families, we were able to connect with Stephen and Mary Beth. And, they came up and saw a football game with us one time in our suite at UT, and we started coming to Show Hope Fellowship Weekend events here in Nashville. About a year after that, I think, was when we had the unfortunate situation where Maria passed, and we were drawn to their family more so through prayer initially, and then reaching out and caring for them. And along that same time was when we started, getting more engaged with Show from a donor perspective. And as would happen, we began to get to know them personally more. So we've known them for several years. I can tell you that they are, this is an overused term, but they're the real deal. They are sincere folks who have, God has granted them a big platform, and they have been so caring for others in the way they have used that platform. And they're very intentional about how they use that platform for good and to help other families. And so love working alongside them.
Yeah, what a privilege. I'm sure it's a privilege to work with them on a daily basis. Are they involved, Stephen and Mary Beth? I know Mary Beth does a number of things. You can see on the website that she does. She blogs. She's got a number of other things. Are they involved in the foundation, in the organization on a daily basis at this point?
Yeah, so they're not here on a daily basis, but, you know, Mary Beth usually is by the office one or two days a week just to check in, and she cares and loves for the staff in a significant way, and so she's always here for those kinds of things, to just, you know, care for them, but also we talk, you know, from a strategic standpoint about different things are happening, and, you know, their brand is very closely associated, very closely tied to what we're doing, and so we want to make sure that it aligns with, you know, who they are and the theology and what they're about and the intentionality of why they started the organization. So in that regard, we have those conversations regularly. Stephen, much the same in that he's here, you know, from time to time as he's in town. You know, he travels pretty extensively with concerts and so forth, but he's here regularly. And this past weekend, last weekend rather, we were actually in Washington, D.C. for an event where he was performing at the Kennedy Center. But we had a Show Hope weekend around that. We had donors in Washington, and they spent a great deal of their time, in addition to his concert, with Show Hope donors throughout the entire weekend. And so I would say that they are very heavily invested in the care for concern of Show Hope and are here regularly but not daily. And we're so glad that they are such a significant part of the organization, because when you have founders like the Chapmans, the thread that you know, that runs to this organization ties back to who they are as people. Culture matters, you know, culture matters. And so that is present in this organization regularly, and they have a lot to do with how we go about our business through the cultures they established very early on.
Right. And it sounds, I know that a lot of folks are familiar with Show Hope. I mean, you're a very large organization. You provide orphan care and aid, grants to families who are adopting. But for those of us for those that might be listening who are not that familiar with it, can you give us a better idea of some of the core programs that the organization provides for families and just for orphans? Because I know you guys do a lot of orphan care.
Yeah, so there are four primary areas of our work. The first was the actual genesis of the organization initially, and that's to provide grants to families who are wanting to adopt. And as you know, there's a significant upfront cost. It's a little bit about what this is all about in the show. And so we have now, this summer, we will give our 5,000th grant to families who have adopted from 53 different nations. And from literally through dozens of adoption agencies. Some folks associate Show Hope so closely with adoption, they think we're an adoption agency. We are not. Mm-hmm. We will walk alongside adoption agencies and helping families to help with their upfront financial costs. And so, as I said, the average size grant now is $5,000. They vary in range typically from $3,000 to $8,000. The average is $5,000. We award grants every 2 months, and we typically are awarding, about 500 to 600 per year. So, you know, about 100 every 2 months. And we just started a program this year where we're also walking alongside families in Ethiopia and Kenya now to help with in-country adoption. So Ethiopians adopting Ethiopians, Kenyans adopting Kenyans, and those programs are in concert with Bethany Christian Services and Buckner International. And it goes to our root mission to make sure that we're helping orphans find lifelong Christian homes. And so that's the first thing. Second thing is we actually have 6 special care centers in China through an operating partner called New Hope. And those special care centers are focused on the care and concern for children who in China have significant special needs. Typically, it's hydrocephalus, cerebral palsy, brain, neurosurgery, heart surgery, palate surgery, bowel surgeries, and bringing those children into a place where they can be loved and cared for, doing the appropriate medical work, many times surgeries, and hopefully providing for them an opportunity to be adopted. And that is a very large part of our work. About a third of our budget now tied up with those. And Maria's Big House of Hope is what so many people associate with Show Hope.
Right,
and that's in
Luoyang.
And that's our biggest facility in China with 144 beds. About 350 to 375 children under care at any given time. third part is post-adoptive therapy. You know, there's trauma involved in this adoptive journey, and we have an affiliation with Dr. Karen Purvis at TCU, who does Empowered to Connect conferences for us around the country. Well, three this year. Our most recent one was in San Antonio. 350 churches watched the simulcast, 20,000 people online watching it, and about 600 people in the building. And we see this as an area that's not much talked about, but yet much needed, and we will be expanding that service in the weeks and months ahead. And then lastly, we have a student initiative, and credit Mary Beth on this. She believes that young people have big visions, and we need to walk alongside them in helping them speak into big visions. And the young generation that we have ahead of us, they are the most communication-savvy generation of all time, and we want them to hear the message of the orphan crisis. And so we're out on college campuses.
Right.
We've been to 100 different universities with our Red Bus Project, and it's about having conversations on campus and building awareness for the orphan crisis. So those are the four main areas. We're about an $11.5 million organization this year with a $13.5 million budget for next year.
Yeah, and so you guys, you have a pretty large staff also, right? I mean, you've got how many?
We have 25 staff members here in the United States, and then a few full-time staff members in China, and then we, by way of our association with New Hope, have another 600 staff that we are funding there in China.
Wow, amazing. What a privilege, I'm sure, it must be to get up and go to work every day, right?
Yeah, it's so much fun.
I know that the work that I do in helping adoptive families raise money, and our coaches, and we work with families all the time. We work with, we're constantly giving Show Hope references and information to families and encouraging them to apply for grants. And we've had several families that have received grants, and it's very helpful. We all know that this is the number one barrier to adoption. If we could solve that money problem, you know, we would have a much easier time. But it also sounds as if, you know, I think many people, as you said, recognize you as an important anchor, I guess is the word that I'm looking for, in adoption. But it's really important to understand the depth of all of the various different programs that you have, the intercountry adoptions. I didn't know that at all. And I think that that's really an important part of what you do. I want you to stay with us because we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more, kind of drill down on some of these programs that you have talked about. In the meantime, we're going to take a short break. We want to do a call out for our sponsor, Adoption Network Law Center in California, a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. The entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. You can check out their services at adoptionnetwork.com. That's adoptionnetwork.com. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio, and stay with us. We'll be back with more from Mike Hamilton.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center. Helping build families one miracle at a time.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey.
EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
We want to thank you so much for staying with us, and we want to do a call out for our sponsor, European Adoption Consultants. EACI is celebrating over 22 years assisting families in completing international adoptions. EAC is an international child placing agency. They are Hague accredited and China licensed and approved to complete adoptions in countries around the world for people living in the United States. EAC is a hosting program. They also are currently accepting applications for families, host families for children from Colombia. Wonderful program. If you're interested in this opportunity, you can contact them at EACI.com. That's EACI.com. And so we are back with Mike Hamilton, Executive Director of Show Hope. Their website is showhope.org. Mike was talking at the last session about grants for families. Gosh, 500 to 600 grants a year. That's just amazing. On average, $3,000 to $8,000. Your intercountry programs, the care centers that you have in China, your post-adoption therapy, your student initiatives, big organization here. The Chapmans have done such an amazing job to build quite a foundation in support of adoption. So I want to make sure that we talk a little bit more about these events and these special programs that you're doing. We talked a little bit about this on the break. Talk more about that Empowered to Connect conference. There were a couple of things that you've got going on, have had going on recently, rather, this year. So the Empowered to Connect conference, you mentioned a little bit about that in San Antonio.
Yes.
April?
Yeah. We have found that the conferences are a 2-day conference, and we've had such great feedback from families. You know, honestly, it's information that's powerful for families, regardless of whether or not they have adopted children or not, but particularly those who have been through the adoption walk, and we've found that it's been just phenomenal help and assistance. And so Dr. Purvis goes through the trust-based relationship intervention model that they've developed in the Institute of Child Development at TCU. And we have one more this calendar year, by the way. It's going to be in Minneapolis on the third weekend in September, and folks can find out more about that on showhope.org. And then our next simulcast, which is broadcast nationally, will actually not be until next spring, but it'll be hosted here on site in Nashville if anybody wanted to attend that. And I think it's the first weekend in April. But the fact that 350 churches in this go-around and 20,000 people were part of this most recent one tells us that there is a need for this type of work, and we just look forward to being an organization that makes sure that parents know that there are assets out there for you as you walk through sometimes hard questions with families. And so I really want to come back to that just briefly and say that you can find out more about that on our website, but I want people to know that there are resources to help with some of the things that you work your way through when you're an adoptive family.
Yes, and we know that not only do you need help on the front end, which we're all aware of that, the finances, the politics, the paperwork, all the various different things. Doing an adoption, and specifically an international adoption these days, can be very challenging. But there's also a need on the other end. There's a need for services on the other end after you come home. So that
is... And we're going to always recommend that someone consider going to an Empowered to Connect conference, or at least reading The Connected Child, which is a book by Dr. Purvis, on the front end. And then certainly we want to be there as a resource on the back end as your children are in home and continue to grow.
So talk to us a moment, Dr. Purvis. This is a name that I have heard in all the various different work that I've done in adoption. Can you talk a little bit about his work?
It's a she, Karen Purvis.
She worked,
and, Karen, she's been at Texas Christian for a long time and does run the, she's the lead at the Institute of Child Development there. And her work is just profound in dealing with hard cases and the way that she cares for children and families. I think it's cutting edge type work. And, she's a gift to so many of us. And we're hopeful and prayerful that she stays healthy and that she's able to continue, she and her team, to communicate this message to so many. One of the other things that we do show hope is we actually also scholarship counselors and trainers from around the country that want to go and pursue this training formally. It's 100 hours worth of training. They go to the TCU campus. It costs about $3,500. We have scholarships so far, as of this year, 500 counselors to go through this that are now placed in 42 states around the country. And our goal is to grow that number, because when you're in a community, and whether it's in Maine or Arizona or anywhere in between, we want you to be able to know that there's somebody in your state that you can go to for this counseling, in addition to what might be available online.
And so specifically the counseling, are we speaking about attachment disorder? Is that what we're speaking about? And
yes.
It's adoption?
All those type things that you encounter, trauma. Attachment disorders, and how to deal with these things in a loving, caring way with children who, there's theory that goes back to, Dr. Purvis would say that my oldest son, who was actually, my wife cut the cord in the delivery room, that there is, when we've been a part of his life since moment one in the outside world, that there's still trauma involved in his life story, and how do we prepare for that? And so this work is about dealing with those kinds of issues.
Well, her reputation precedes her. I will tell you that I have actually worked with a family who has talked about the work that she does, that Dr. Purvis does, and she's actually worked with them here locally in the Kansas City area. So that's how I knew the name. I wasn't that familiar with it, but I did know that she was she did work in attachment disorder and other kind of trauma issues as it relates to adoption. So tell us a little bit about, you talked about the student initiative. Tell us a little bit about this Red Bus project. You did this in March. This sounds like great fun. I saw the picture of the bus on your website. It's very cool.
Yeah, so we bought a double-decker bus from London. And you go, why? But I can tell you, everywhere we go around the country, people notice it. And so we've now, the premise was that we wanted to help communicate the Orphan Crisis message in a very unique way to the next generation. And so we go on campus. It's a rolling thrift store. Kids can come on there and get their, I don't even know what the cool names are anymore. They can come on and get their Abercrombie and Fitch t-shirt. And at the same time, we've got six or seven interns that are working alongside the bus, whose message is to, just open relationship and share about the Orphan Crisis and tell a little bit about what we do. And it's about branding and about the communication of this message to the next generation. So as I said, it's 100 different universities we've been to now, 150 different visits overall. And this past spring, we did 15. We try to do 40 to 50 visits per year. In the fall, we'll be doing a tour of Texas universities, and then next spring will be in the Carolinas and Virginia. We hope at some point to maybe even double up the number of visits, but I can assure you, if it's on campus and you have children that are on campus, they're gonna remember having seen the Red Bus Project. And
yeah.
I actually house my office is actually back in the same office of the Red Bus Project, and part of that was, having worked on college campuses for 26 years, I feel like that's the way I stayed young. And then also, just I love the energy that comes there. And by the way, the second story on that is, it's not just what's happening on campus, but these interns who have served with us on the Red Bus Project, now 35 strong, have gone on to do great things in helping to change this world for good. And so it's Chris Wheeler is the head of that project for us, and he does a super, super job. And, for those listeners who have children on campuses around the country, we post the schedule every semester and need to look on there from time to time and see if it's coming to a campus near you.
That's wonderful. Really, really cool. And I can really capture the energy that you bring, having been on campuses for so long and knowing the kind of energy that you can yield from that group of folks. So I'm so glad that you guys are doing that. So I'm not sure how much time we have, but start to tell us a little bit about the Invisible Bracelet Project. That sounds zero manufacturing cost. Now, I can tell you before you get into this, I've been in the nonprofit sector for a long time. And, you know, there's always this trick. So how do you raise money and also spend money to raise money? So I just thought this was really, really clever, the Invisible Bracelet Project. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say the guy I mentioned, Chris Wheeler, that does Red Bus Project, he is the talent on that and does a great job. But we have a lot of young folks in our office, and they really said, hey, can we do something a little bit more edgy and try to talk about the story in a different way? And we said, sure. And so it's garnered a lot of attention. I think we've had over 250,000 views of the video itself. And we've raised some money. And of course, 100% of all the money we raise has gone to the cause that we've discussed.
That's cool.
And that's helping to feed orphans because there's not costs associated with an invisible bracelet. It's really to serve two purposes. One is to, in a very unique way, tell the story again of the orphan crisis, and $1 per day feeds an orphan in our special care centers, and so to articulate that in a different manner that maybe it's heard by a different audience. And it's largely been directed at a younger audience, but we've raised several thousand dollars in the meantime because of folks who have said, oh, that's cool, I want to help out. And I applaud our creative team for coming up with a unique way to tell stories that many people need to hear.
Right, right. And I, you know, from my perspective, and I'm not in that generation, but from my perspective, it's kind of like, I think we get tired of the tchotchkes, right? We get tired.
Yeah.
I would send you money to not send me something, really. I don't want anything at this point. So there's not room in my house for one more thing that I want you to send. So they're right on it in terms of understanding that, you know, you can put a lot of energy into a project and with zero manufacturing costs and be able to do that. So I imagine that all these projects, I know they are because I found them on your website, they're all available on the site that you can go actually look at those projects and be involved in these particular programs. So
I know that Chris Wheeler would be disappointed if I didn't say you can still get invisible bracelets at invisiblebracelets.co. We still have them left.
You still have some stock left, huh?
Yeah,
you just did another reorder.
Unlimited.
That's great. That's really great. Well, we're going to take a short break again. We'll be back with Mike Hamilton from Show Hope. Stay with us.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center, helping build families one miracle at a time.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm here today with Mike Hamilton, a wonderful interview, getting an update for the Show Hope organization. Their website is showhope.org. That's showhope.org. Do go on their website and check out some of the events and special programs that they've been doing this last year, the Empowered to Connect conference that was held in San Antonio, but read about Dr. Purvis's work. And if you are interested in some of that information, the Red Bus Project, we have to have a show all about how you got the bus over from London. I think that would be a very interesting show to have.
No doubt.
Right. And don't forget to order your invisible bracelet. They have plenty more in stock, and so you can take advantage of that particular program and be a part of really helping and supporting a program that's very, very important. So tell us, you spoke about this at the very beginning of the show, Mike, in terms of your goals, your vision. I mean, the organization has been around for a long time. You're followed by, you know, you follow in the footsteps of a wonderful man who was with the organization for a long time in your position. So what's your plan? Where are you taking us next?
Well, I'm glad you said what you said. It's Scott Hoffenbach, who was our original executive director.
Yes.
Wow, this did such a tremendous job in setting the foundation for where we're going. And so we've kind of looked at this as an inflection point and you know, drilling deeper in the areas where we are. In China in particular, we are in 6 centers. We have capacity there yet unfilled where we can actually bring more children into those areas. We have one of our facilities that can actually be expanded. And then once we fill all the beds in China, we'll look to what's next in China and maybe eventually someday outside of China. And the grant program, we do believe that this in-country adoption work in Kenya and Ethiopia can be expanded upon. We hope to also be looking in the near-term future on how we can do in-country work in China. We want to grow our grants. Right now, 70% of all approved applicants receive grants. We would love to have more people get grants. And honestly, you know, I think that even though international adoption numbers have declined, the number of grant requests that we have gotten have not declined. So it tells me that there's still people who are really wanting to do this and who have the need for the additional funds. On the Red Bus Project, you know, if we're going to 40 campuses a year, why not 100? Why shouldn't we be looking at buying a second Red Bus? And then, you know, Empowered to Connect to 350 churches were a part of this past spring. Why not 1,000 churches? If 20,000 people were watching the simulcast, why not 100,000 people? If 500 trainers have been trained in 42 states, why not 1,000 more in the next 3 years in all 50 states? We have, you know, I think, bold vision for where the organization can go. We operate in some very, many would think, very niche areas where, you know, when you think about the 4 things I just described, they're very unique in their scope, but much needed within the lanes that they're operating in. And so I think, you know, we certainly don't own a quote unquote a monopoly in any of those areas, but I think we own positions of strength in those areas, and we need to continue to, as God leads us and folks provide the resources, we need to continue to explore what would be next. And we're doing that as an organization. We're getting ready to launch our first ever capital campaign this next year, and that will be largely derived by the vision and strategic plan that our board will be working on over the next several months.
Wow. So it sounds like all bigger and better. just all the things that you're already doing and even bigger. So reaching more and more people, taking advantage of all the great foundation that was built, and then just making that impact even bigger, which is obviously wonderful. And we know that organizations today, whether you're a nonprofit or for-profit entity, it's very important to be able to just meet the challenges, right? Meet the challenges of the day. It's a shorter timeline. You've got to be able to respond in a quicker fashion.
Yeah,
so it sounds very exciting.
We're at the end of our fiscal year in June 30th, and so we'll reset the button to zero on July 1.
Yeah,
and then
we've got to
go do it again. And we are intentional about doing that, and we believe that we're the carrier of a great message, and that's the hope for children and a call to what the Lord has given us all to think about in the Bible in James 1:27. And we believe that everybody's called to the story. We don't believe everybody has to adopt. But we believe that everybody should be should care about causes related to adoption, and so we're going to be intentional about that work every day. Because, gosh, can you imagine a better cause to be working for? And the great news is the staff here all believe that, and that's why we come to work every day. And the reward for us is just seeing these beautiful smiles that we're able to see as these kids come home to be with their forever families.
Yeah, it is amazing. And even though I think it's important that you pointed out that you do not have there's been no dip or problem with people who are submitting grant applications to complete adoptions. That's not the issue at all. And I think it's very important for people to understand that we have plenty of families who want to adopt internationally and also domestically, obviously, but internationally especially, and that there are a lot of barriers for that. There are also a great need for all of the orphans around the world to have permanent families. And so bringing those two things together are so important. The landscape of international adoption, Mike, has just changed. You've seen it. I'm sure you've watched it. It has just changed so much. And I love that you're talking about inter-country adoptions. So, you know, certainly we can do a lot by bringing these children to the United States, but the intercountry adoption programs are very, very important. Can you talk about that with us for just a moment? I've got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah. And just briefly, you know, we give credit to Buckner and Bethany for initiating that conversation with us. And, you know, they both have strongholds in those countries to realize that foster to adopt is a big part of the work. And there's a culture change that's shifting in those countries who are keeping many of their own children at home. And we want to be a part of that, because our goal ultimately is to make sure that kids are in Christian homes forever. And, you know, we shouldn't be focused solely upon that being necessarily in America, if that is our ultimate goal. And so we want to continue to be able to expand upon that where it makes sense and where there's a support structure to help with it.
Right, right. And I think that is right on. I mean, there are many organizations who are working toward this effort. As you said, Buckner, Bethany, I know that we've had on the show many times Craig Gentinen with Both Ends Burning and the Stuck campaign. They have been doing a wonderful work with going to some of these countries and having symposiums and helping people to talk about what's the infrastructure that they need within country to develop foster care programs and to develop, to get these kids into permanent homes. So I love hearing that you guys are a big part of that. I want to thank you, Mike, for being on the show with us today and such amazing work. And we're just cheering for you, your new job, the new work. You've got a great vision, and we hope that you'll come back and share with us about that second bus that's coming over from London.
And there's a story behind all that too. So it's been a true pleasure to be with you, and I hope you will have us on again.
Yes, thank you so much. I want to thank you for being with us today. What a great show. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story that you'd like to share, we'd love hearing from you. You can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. You can also find all of our shows on adoption.net. So thanks for joining us. Tune in again next week, same time, same place. In the meantime, have a wonderful day.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption.
please tune in next Saturday at noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. And join us for our weekly replay of the show on Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.